Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, November 6th. And what a wild weekend of football. Craziness at quarterback with all these backups starting, with starters getting hurt in the process. Josh Dobbs showing up, not even knowing his team. We even had a running back kick a field goal. Dude with a visor kicking a field goal was pretty badass. Not going to lie, but I'm going to break this all down for you, give you some waiver thoughts along the way as well. We'll start with Miami and Kansas City. Kansas City defense, man. We often talk about the offense, but the defense is getting it done for this team. They held yet another opponent to a season low here. 14 points was the season low for the Miami Dolphins. The Chiefs have done that against five of their eight opponents, because they played the Broncos twice this season. They've been incredible on the defensive side of the ball. We think about the offense, but it's been the defense. And in fact, the offense, really, there wasn't much doing offensively nearly across the board here. I mean, I suppose Patrick Mahomes' numbers were good enough this week, especially good enough. 185 and 2, not that good though. The touchdowns going to Jerick McKinnon. Rashee Rice had one in the very beginning of the game, and then pretty much did nothing else from there. Even on the other side, I mean, I suppose Raheem Mostert, 12 for 85 and a touchdown, was fine. Tyreek Hill had 8 catches, but only 62 yards. But if that's his floor, I'll take it. Both of these teams are heading into bye. And keep in mind, Devon Achane slated to be back in week 11 when they return from bye. We'll see if that actually happens. But as of right now, that would seem pretty likely. Let's move on to the next game here, Minnesota and Atlanta. I alluded to it a little bit earlier. Minnesota pulled it out 31-28. Josh Dobbs was playing, not even knowing the playbook, not knowing his teammates, but playing good football. 158 yards and 2 scores. He ran for 66 yards and a score on 7 attempts. He's like a sneaky good runner. He's not super fast, but kind of lumbering, but he knows when to run. Now, I do think that people are going to overvalue this performance, because let's be clear, we do know who Josh Dobbs is, and I don't think that playing on his fifth team in the last, whatever, 9 months is really going to change that. It was a great outing for him. The other thing here, obviously, is Justin Jefferson. When will Justin Jefferson be back? It's not safe to assume that it's this week. It's not. The initial timetable was 4 to 6 weeks, and we've yet to get a concrete update since he's gone to injured reserve. So don't just simply assume there. It does look like Cam Akers will be out for the rest of the season with an Achilles injury. There really isn't anybody to pick up behind Akers. However, Alexander Mattison going to remain in RB2. He's not particularly efficient, but he's going to see the volume. He saw it in this game, 18 touches and a decent fantasy week because he got in the end zone as a receiver. TJ Hockenson, 7 for 69. Nice on 12 targets. Nice. Jordan Addison, I will say this, he's not really a Josh Dobbs type of receiver, so that's the one thing that really puts a damper on things here. Marquise Brown, for example, these guys who can get downfield, we saw what Brown did with Josh Dobbs, wasn't much. So my outlook for Jordan Addison isn't particularly bullish. I think you could still roster him, obviously, and he'll be usable at times as a wide receiver 3. But the overall outlook here is not great. For him, I don't think it matters for Justin Jefferson. I think he'll end up being fine because he can get more done in the intermediate and short areas of the field compared to what Addison typically does. KJ Osborne, a scary concussion in this game. He could miss time, we'll see, with that concussion. On the other side, Taylor Heinicke, 268 and 1. We don't know if he's going to be the starter going forward, but he's probably going to be the starter going forward. You did have, of course, just piss poor usage for Bijan Robinson. And honestly, we have to reevaluate where we are on him. Because here's the issue. Is he talented enough to be an every week RB1? Oh, hell yeah. Of course he is. But an every week RB1 does need to see close to 20 touches every game. I mean, it doesn't have to be 20. Could be 20 plus. But, you know, let's call it 18 to 22. And Arthur Smith is not willing to do that. He wants to continue to use Tyler Allgeier, who had 12 rushing attempts here, 39 rushing yards and a score. And Bijan Robinson, meanwhile, had 13 touches. So they essentially, I mean, Algier out-touched him, 14-13. I don't get it. I don't know if I ever will get it. And maybe I'm not supposed to get it, but I do know this. If our expectations are he's a top 12 guy and he continually doesn't perform like a top 12 guy, not because he's not good enough to be a top 12 guy, but rather because he's not getting enough touches to be a top 12 guy, you know what ends up happening? People get pissed off. Fantasy managers get pissed off. And I'm not even talking about the angry fantasy guy types. I'm talking about regular, normal folks. We'll get pissed off over this. I'm not going to get sad. We'll get pissed off over this. And when we are pissed off, you know what happens to us as fantasy managers? We make bad decisions. I don't want to make bad decisions. So I think we just have to reposition our evaluation on him. And we're going to have to start considering maybe more of an RB2, which sucks. It's not what I signed up for. It's not, the potential is certainly there, but if he's not, and by me, I mean Arthur Smith, if he's not going to use him that way, then we have to change how we view him. Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith were essentially the leading receivers with Drake London out and then Mac Hollins leaving the game somewhat early. We'll talk about Jonnu Smith tomorrow on the waiver podcast. All right, on to our next game, Arizona and Cleveland. Arizona shut out Clayton Toon. Not good. First quarterback whose team was shut out in his first career start since Johnny Football himself, Johnny Manziel, in 2014. The Browns had, they held the Arizona Cardinals to 58 total yards. So there was nothing doing here. Now, I'm not even going to worry about the performances on the field because a lot of it had to do with Clayton Toon. But here, let me address something. This team is 1-8. This team has Kyler Murray, who was certainly healthy enough to be taken off the injury report, but yet is not healthy enough to be activated off of injured reserve. This team is 1-8. I'll say it again. This team is looking at the number one overall pick. And if this team brings back Kyler Murray and he wins some games for them, they no longer will have the number one pick. And there are some years where it's like, okay, whatever. But this is not one of those years. I know that USC is not in the national championship hunt, and I know that Caleb Williams is no longer in the Heisman hunt either, but he is every bit the number one pick in the draft if he does, in fact, decide to come out. No, I mean, obviously, I think he's going to come out. You don't pass on that. If you have the opportunity to get that guy, not only is he very good, like very good, franchise changing, but he's also like a face of the league type as well, which is even better. I mean, it's such a perfect storm with Caleb Williams. So here is my point going back to Kyler. It's Monday. They have until Wednesday to activate him off of PUP. I keep saying injury reserve, but it's PUP. Anyway, if they do not do so, he will revert to season-ending injured reserve, regardless of whether or not he's healthy enough to play. The way that Jonathan Gannon has approached this, the head coach of the Cardinals, I would not be surprised if that happened. Just saying. Now, you could listen to this, and maybe it's Monday night, and maybe he's already been activated, and we'll just call it that. Yes, maybe I'm getting a little conspiratorial here. I do have my tinfoil hat on after all. But I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't think it is a safe assumption that Kyler Murray is just automatically going to be activated. Now, if there was rational coaching here, if there was rational general managing, is that what we call it? Then, yeah, he would obviously, he would have been activated before this game. He would have started this game. And they maybe would have had a chance to, I don't know about win, but compete. Not get shut out, not put 58 total yards on the board. But that didn't happen. And Jonathan Gannon has been very weird about this. Just saying. Not a safe assumption that he comes back. On the other side, we did have Deshaun Watson out there. Honestly, this is the best he's looked since the injury way back in week 3. Threw two passing scores. Really didn't have to do that much. He hit his over on his passing yards prop was 206.5. So 219. I did mention that on CBS Sports Network yesterday. So good play there. So I think we're looking at Deshaun Watson as top 15. Some weeks he'll be top 10, but definitely a top 15 option going forward. And he is fairly widely available. Connecting with Amari Cooper five times for 139 and a score. That was awesome. Jerome Ford touched the ball 25 times. Now, wasn't great from a total yardage standpoint, only 77 total yards, but he was clearly ahead of Kareem Hunt. But Kareem Hunt is the short yardage guy. 14 for 38 and a touchdown for Hunt. The moral of the story, though, the three-headed monster, that has gone away, at least in this game. Pierre Strong only played five snaps. Jerome Ford played 45. Kareem Hunt played 21. Ford is the guy to have in our starting rosters. Hunt can be on benches, especially if you have six or more bench spots, but that's where we are, and Strong doesn't really deserve a roster spot at this point. Also, keep an eye on Cedric Tillman. Oh, baby. The route participation. You ready? Amari Cooper, 30. Elijah Moore, 25. Cedric Tillman, 21. Now, he only caught one ball, but that's pretty interesting with Donovan Peoples-Jones out of the mix. Rams, Packers. Packers, 20-3. Easy peasy for them. This is the best Jordan Love has looked since week two. 20 of 26 for 228 and a touchdown. No major mistakes. That's the most important thing. And while the Rams may not have a star-studded defense, it's not a bad defense. So that really stood out. What else stood out? Aaron Jones. Who? 20 for 73 and a touchdown on the ground. Not amazing numbers on the ground, but the touchdown certainly helps. And then 4 for 26 as a pass catcher. That is 24 touches. Meanwhile, A.J. Dillon, 10 touches. That's the ratio we're looking for if we have Aaron Jones. On the other side, Brett Rypien, obviously swimming upstream here. His presence put a damper on Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. We just need Stafford back, and maybe he'll be back for their next game. I mean, we'll see. But we're closing in on that, hopefully. The backfield, Royce Freeman continues to look better than Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson continues to play more than Royce Freeman, and it is not a good spot as a whole. Kyren Williams can't get back fast enough as far as I'm concerned. Christian Watson was banged up in this one, so we'll keep an eye on him. Let's move on to Washington and New England. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Washington 20-17. The Patriots are five games under 500 for the first time since the end of the 2000 season. 23 seasons. Oof. Not good. Generally speaking, not good across the board, except Ramondre Stevenson, but only 9 carries, 9 for 87. He ripped off the long touchdown run, so 9 for 87 and a touchdown. Did catch 4 balls, though, so he's going to remain in that RB2 conversation. We did see DeMario Douglas lead the way as we expected. He had 7 targets, caught 5 of them for 55. He led the way in route participation. Juju Smith-Schuster, only 18 routes run, but caught 6 balls for 51 yards. I'm going to have to talk about him tomorrow as well. On the other side, Sam Howell, another 300-yard game, 325 passing yards. I mean, okay. All right. It wasn't an amazing game, but it was pretty darn solid. 325 and 1, 5 for 27 on the ground. The game script set up well for Brian Robinson. He had 18 for 63 and a touchdown on the ground. Caught a ball for 4 yards. McLaurin, 5 for 73, solid. Jahan Dotson, 4 for 69, actually led the team in targets with 8. And he had the touchdown, so that was pretty nice right there. Moving on to Chicago and New Orleans, this likely will be the last of the Tyson Bagent starts. New Orleans winning 24-17. Let me go on the Chicago side first. 220-2, which was good. He ran for 70 yards, which was good. He threw three interceptions, which was not good there for Tyson Bagent. So a little bit of a disappointment, no doubt about it. He put a damper on DJ Moore, 3 for 44. He helped Cole Kmet. So a lot of the stuff that I thought, I didn't expect 2 touchdowns for Cole Kmet, but 6 for 55 and 2 scores was just fine. Deontay Foreman remained the lead back, 20 for 83. I've gotten asked a lot of questions about Khalil Herbert and whether or not we should be picking him up with his return imminent. I don't think he's going to slide right back into the clear lead back spot. I think Deontay Foreman has done enough here for it to be a timeshare between those two, which puts a damper on both of their fantasy outlooks, unfortunately. On the other side, okay, Taysom Hill, let's talk about this dude. So he threw a touchdown pass. He carried the ball 11 times for 52 yards, which both numbers were much better than what Alvin Kamara did. He also caught four balls for 13 yards and a touchdown. So he's all over the place. He's playing every position, basically. Is this sustainable? Now, history has told us with Taysom Hill that it's not sustainable. This is a three-game stretch, though. Well, kind of four. But three games of really good fantasy production. I don't know, man. We're gonna have to talk about him tomorrow. I feel like he's a sell high, to be honest with you. If you could sell him for an upgrade at running back or wide receiver, I would do that. If you're rostering another tight end. If he's your only tight end, then go for it. You know, stick with it. But anyway, Alvin Kamara, his workload decreased in this one. We saw a lot more Jamal Williams. Kamara only played 50% of the offensive snaps. Jamal Williams was up over 42%. He wasn't heavily used in terms of touches, but he was out there a lot. There's something to monitor there. I'm not going to panic here. I'm certainly not going to try and trade Kamara away because I'm not maximizing my value here. But he touched the ball 13 times. He had 44 yards on four catches as a pass catcher, which is fine, but 9 for 26 as a runner is not fine. The other thing, okay, so I got a lot of questions about, like, why are you ranking Chris Olave so highly, right? The angry guy, angry fantasy guy questions. Well, he kept coming in so high in my model because he was number 6 among receivers in expected fantasy points. So he was underperforming expectation. And if it was like an older player, if it was like late career AJ Green and he's underperforming expectation, it's like, yeah, of course he is. But if it's a young player like Chris Olave, second year player whose arrow is pointing up, that means that we can expect upward regression. That's how I identify buy low candidates. And here we go. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but 6 for 46 and a touchdown. I'll take that for Olave. A little bit of a bounce back performance there for him. Seattle, Baltimore. Baltimore just destroys NFC teams, especially at home. Wow, 37-3? Are you kidding me? Not much to take away from the Seattle side. Smith and Jigba had 6 for 63, but they did run a lot of 11 personnel because they were playing from behind. The other thing that's interesting here, and I think this is partially because they're playing from behind, but it's also evolved to be more of a timeshare. Kenneth Walker outsnapped by Zach Charbonnet, 27-22. Not a lot of snaps there, by the way. But something to note, not a panicky thing, though, if you have Kenneth Walker. I'm not going to freak out over that. But it is worth noting, no doubt about it. Let me move over to the other side. Keaton Mitchell finally showed up and had that breakout game that some of us thought he was going to have a while back. 9 for 138 and a touchdown, and the touchdown was a thing of beauty. He looks like a Devon Achane type out there, right? Undersized, not going to carry the ball 25 times in any game. But he doesn't need to. He's that explosive. And I don't think this is going anywhere. Yes, they'll continue to use Gus Edwards. Yes, they'll use Justice Hill. By the way, Justice Hill, some of that work that he got, if you just look at the box score, that came in garbage time. So I'm not going to overthink that. We are definitely going to have to talk about Keaton Mitchell tomorrow on the podcast. Just an enormous game for him and was really, really fun to watch. I'm sitting on him in a league right now, and I'm very happy that I am sitting on him. Lamar Jackson, better days will be ahead, by the way. Don't freak out over this performance because he's still playing very good football this season. Okay, on to the next game. Tampa and Houston. Get your popcorn ready because C.J. Stroud put on an absolute show in one of the most entertaining. Who would have thought this game would be one of the most entertaining games of the season? But it absolutely was. A barn burner, 39-37, Houston defeating Tampa. And a lot of it was because of C.J. Stroud. 470 yards, 5 passing scores, no interceptions, by the way. Rookie record for passing yards in a game. Third player in NFL history to do the 470-plus, 5-plus, and 0 INTs. He joins Y.A. Tittle and Ben Roethlisberger on that list. Pretty darn impressive. It was a special performance. He isn't going to be on waivers in most leagues. He's been widely added. But he's a prime example. C.J. Stroud's a prime example of why I say you don't need to prioritize quarterback in your fantasy drafts. In one quarterback leagues, of course, is what I'm talking about here. So Stroud wasn't drafted in a lot of leagues. He was drafted in some, but not in a lot. And yet the folks who have picked him up are now in a great spot, right? He's not going to put up these kinds of numbers you know, I don't want to say it's never going to happen again because I'm not willing to say that, but it's not going to be like this every week. But most weeks is pretty good. And you got him for nothing. You didn't have to waste any draft capital. You didn't draft him in the fifth round, and now you're banging your head off the wall because you can't even really start him most weeks with any confidence like Trevor Lawrence or somebody like that. These guys happen every year. Now, I can't guarantee you who it's going to be in any given year, but if, as long as you're proactive on the waiver wire, then you can go out and get... And like, if you drafted Trevor Lawrence, you're not going to be proactive. You know, but if you drafted Geno Smith and whoever, Anthony Richardson, like I did in a bunch of leagues, you're going to have to be proactive. So there you go. CJ Stroud, hell of a rookie season so far. Not overly concerned about Nico Collins, by the way. And it wasn't even a bad week. He had 3 for 54 and a score. He just didn't get in on the bonanza that Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, and Noah Brown got in on. On the other side, Rashad White, this was the best game we've seen out of him, really maybe in his career, but certainly this season. Wasn't super efficient on the ground, but did score twice as a runner, 20 for 73, and then caught 4 for 46. That's what he does. He's good, man, and he is. He looked really quick in this game. Kate Otten, 6 for 70 and 2 scores. We'll talk about him tomorrow. All right, Indianapolis and Carolina. Well, Bryce Young was not able to put on the show that his fellow first-round rookie quarterback was able to put on. And in fact, did something that is pretty difficult to do. He threw 2 pick sixes in this game. Yikes. One of them was on a screen pass, which I don't think I've ever seen a screen pass pick six before. But anyway, yeah, it wasn't good over there. Chuba Hubbard, I will have to talk about him tomorrow because he is clearly the lead back now. Sucks for Miles Sanders, but he's outplaying him and he's got that spot. Adam Thielen came back to earth as a result here too, 5 for 29. That was the worst performance we've seen out of him since week one. Your sell high window may have just closed on him. On the other side, okay, so Josh Downs is probably going to miss some time, which I suppose is a good thing because then we won't even have any question marks. He left the game very early with that knee issue. Michael Pittman, 8 for 64. There's really nobody else who's going to fill in for Josh Downs, so we'll just keep rolling with Pittman. Jonathan Taylor had 23 touches in this game. Not amazing. He had 18 for 47, yikes. 5 for 22, ugh. But, all right, I'll take the 7.2 PPR points and the touchdown. More importantly, when we look at the participation in this backfield, you ready for this? Jonathan Taylor, 75% snap share, 43 snaps in the game. Zach Moss, 19% snap share, 11 snaps in the game. The pendulum has fully swung to Jonathan Taylor. Zach Moss is now just a handcuff. So if you have Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss, cool. Keep it that way. We know how good Moss can be when Taylor isn't on the field. If you have Taylor, no Moss, I don't think it's like a huge priority to get Moss, especially if you don't really have anything to leverage or you don't want to get rid of anything, then don't. But if you have Moss and no Taylor, the move that I would make is I would go out, go to the Taylor manager and say, hey, are you interested in Moss? And I don't think you need to drive a hard deal. Just get something for him. Because otherwise, I mean, you're just stuck with a naked handcuff, which, I mean, can have value. Like, let's be clear, if Jonathan Taylor went down, then now you're sitting on another, you know, a back-end RB1 again in Moss. But you may want to capitalize. I know a lot of trade deadlines are approaching in home leagues. Let's move on to the Giants and Raiders. Oh, boy. Well, the Raiders put up 30. And Josh Jacobs was balling out. 26 carries, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Finally, a really solid fantasy game out of him. Aiden O'Connell didn't really have to do anything, but he was fine. He didn't make any mistakes. And I think that's what they need out of Aiden O'Connell to get through the remainder of the season here. He goes 16 to 25 for 209. Unfortunately, that puts a damper on Davante Adams and Jakobi Meyers, who didn't do much in this contest. But, you know, they didn't have to. That was the thing, because the Giants put up absolutely no fight. Daniel Jones got hurt early, and we have since found out that will be a season-ending torn ACL for Daniel Jones. This was a disastrous season for him. He played a total of 2 quarters of good football, or, well, it was great football, let's call it that. It was against Arizona, but still, they put in Tommy DeVito. Oh! And he went 15 to 20 for 175 and 1. I don't think he's necessarily guaranteed to be a starter going forward, though, because the team does have Matt Barkley on the practice squad, we could see Barkley out there possibly getting some starts too. That is yet to be determined, so we'll talk more about it tomorrow for Superflex Leagues. Otherwise, it was pretty much just Saquon Barkley. I mean, Wandale Robinson scored a touchdown, but Saquon Barkley, and that's pretty much it. Another game with 100-plus scrimmage yards. Let's see. Moving over to Dallas and Philadelphia, this was an instant classic of a game. Philly winning 28-23, but losing Dallas Goedert for an undetermined amount of time. It's a forearm fracture, and I'm guessing this is 4 to 6. I am a doctor, but I am not a medical doctor. I have a PhD, not even lying here. I don't use it, but I sure as hell paid for it. But regardless, all indications say 4 to 6 weeks. We'll talk good week on tight end for waivers, though, so we'll talk more about that tomorrow. On the Eagles side, too, they head into bye. Jalen Hurts, a little dinged up with a knee issue, but he should be fine coming out of this. It wasn't serious. 207-2, ran for a touchdown on the old tush push, 36 yards on the ground for him. DeAndre Swift saw volume, but it was a really tough matchup. I'm not going to overthink the performance. So he goes 18 for 43, also 2 catches for 31 yards. So that's 20 touches. Kenny Gainwell, of course, just 3 carries, but one of them was the touchdown. Yay. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith getting in the end zone. And by the way, that's Devontae Smith is going to be the beneficiary of the Dallas Goedert injury. That puts him back into our good graces as an every week wide receiver too after they come back from bye. On the other side, CeeDee Lamb, he set another career best for a single game, 191 receiving yards. He did it in back-to-back weeks here, 11 catches. No scores, obviously, for him, but still a rock-solid performance. Jake Ferguson we'll talk about tomorrow, 7 for 91 and a score. Dak Prescott, 374 and 3 in this game. Number 2 fantasy quarterback for the week. Only a few weeks ago, a lot of folks wanted to drop him. Trust the process, man, because he is putting up some numbers. Also, I'm not concerned with Swift. I'm not concerned with Tony Pollard. It was a tough matchup, no doubt about it. All right, we'll round it out with Sunday Night Football and another really good game. Even though it wasn't a super high-scoring contest, Cincinnati, Buffalo, a little bit of a prize fight, and Cincinnati prevailing. And get this, so the Bengals are 5-3, which is a nice turnaround. A lot of it is due to Burrow kind of finally looking healthy and all that. They're 5-3. They're in last place in the AFC North because the Ravens are 7-2. The Steelers are 5-3. The Browns are 5-3. And they have the tiebreakers on the Bengals because in the division, the Bengals are 0-2. This is wild, man. So they're in a potential playoff spot, obviously, with that. But they're trending in the right direction. 348-2 for Joe Burrow. Of course, those two went to, just as we drew it up, Drew Sample and Irv Smith. Jamar Chase was a little dinged up here, but he should be fine. 4 for 41. This would be a great time to try and buy low on him. And how about T. Higgins, bounce back central, 8 for 110. Now, he's got a boomer bust profile, but I'll take the booms when they happen. Joe Mixon got in the end zone as a runner, 14 for 37 and a score. Wasn't great, but then he chips in an additional 5 for 31 as a pass catcher. Ends up being a nice week for him. On the other side, okay, so Josh Allen, not his best outing, but if not his best outing is 258-1 and then 44 rushing yards and a score, I will certainly take not his best outing. The touchdown did go to Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs had a catch and run in this game that was a thing of beauty. Just shows how stinking good this guy is. 6 for 86 and the score. Dalton Kincaid, 10 for 81. It wasn't a mistake-free game for him, but still, those are big-time numbers. Led the way with 11 targets. We did see Khalil Shakir involved a little bit, just as we expected. 4 for 57, that's fine. But how about this? You want to know the most Gabe Davis stat line ever? Gabe Davis, 2 targets, no catches. Last week, he was heavily involved, puts up a big fantasy week, and this week, a goose egg. That's Gabe Davis in a nutshell. Take the ticket, ride the ride. This is what we're on if we have Gabe Davis on our rosters. James Cook, 6 for 20, 4 for 19 as a pass catcher, But most important thing, significantly out-touching Latavius Murray. And from a participation standpoint, they were pretty close, actually. 30, to 25 in terms of snaps. Cook did outsnap Murray. My suspicion is that Leonard Fournette is going to start to take Murray's role, which it really doesn't change the dynamic for James Cook, but I think Leonard Fournette can do the Murray role better than Murray. So he will ultimately be viable once he is integrated into the team and is able to be elevated from practice squad. I think they ultimately end up signing him to the active roster, but there's still some time before that. All right, so that wraps it up. We still have one more game to go on this slate. Should be a fun one. And then we'll come back tomorrow, and we're in double digits, man. Week 10 waiver wire coming at you tomorrow. In the meantime, follow along with me on social media, on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and of course, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RADPACK for 10% off. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.